Say, this is my Bible.
My Bible.
Okay, hold it up in the air. Say, this is my Bible.
My Bible.
My Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word is the devil destruction power. With
my Bible,
I can defeat the devil
every day.
Glory to God. This is my Bible.
My Bible is
the revelation of God's will for my life.
Whatever it says I am.
That's what I am. Whatever says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever says I have,
I claim it
in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God.
I'm going to turn this mic off. I hope y'all can. I know that y'all can hear me because I have a very booming voice. But we're going to continue in our series, Miracles Are For Today. I want y'all to begin to trust God to work through you to do miracles. See, I need y'all to be miracle workers, glory to God.
Amen.
The days of miracles have not passed away, and miracles were not just for the apostles and the prophets. God's people in the book of Acts, many common people work miracles. God worked miracles through people, praise God.
Amen.
I know there are men of God who want to come up and pretend like they're the only ones with all the power, and they're God's man of the hour with the power. Well, I am God's man of the hour with the power, but I don't want to be the only one having the power, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I know Moses, during a time when he was getting stressed out because he was pastoring a church of millions of people out there in the wilderness, and everybody was coming to him to solve their problems. Can you imagine millions of people? You must have a long line of people to counsel every day. And he was getting stressed out. So he talked to God, and God said, I will bring to me 70 of your elders, and I will take the spirit that I have upon you and put upon those 7. Well, these elders received the spirit of God, and they began to move in the gift of prophecy. And so Joshua got a little jealous for Moses' sake, and he went over to Moses and said, Moses, you see what they're doing? Moses, instead of saying, yeah, that ain't right, I should be the only man prophesying here, Moses said, oh, I wish that all of God's people would prophesy. Praise God.
Amen.
That's the attitude I have. I have the same attitude as Moses. See, God's work is not by any super preachers. Praise God.
Amen.
Us preachers are here to simply move you along and help you to understand that you are in the ministry as well as I am. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
See, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that I am to train you, for the work of the ministry. That means that it's not my job alone to go out and win souls. I think I should get an amen on that.
Amen.
Even though you may not like to hear that, it is not my job to bring people into the church alone.
No.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
It is all of our job. These seats are going to be filled not by just Pastor Troy alone. Now, I'm working hard. I'm out there sharing the good news of Jesus. I'm on the internet sharing the news. I'm on the streets sharing the news. And I don't expect y'all to always come out with me every single week, but I do expect you to at least talk to your family members, to your friends, to every once in a while. You don't have to shove the gospel down their throat, but every once in a while, throw a bone. Hey, you know, we've been talking about you coming to church. When do you think you're going to be able to come to church with me one Sunday? I mean, I don't want to pressure you, but do it. Praise God.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, one of the best ways to win somebody to the Lord is for God to use you or partner with you or to make you his vessel by which the miraculous power of God flows through. Glory to God.
Amen.
I told you last week about an incident where I was, where a young man on my job had a bump where he thought was cancerous, and He was very scared, and then I prayed for him, and it disappeared, and it disappeared miraculously, and him, his wife, and two other people got saved that same week. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. See, God works miracles. This is not to say that every miracle that happens guarantees somebody's going to come to church. Praise Jesus. And that doesn't mean that God, every miracle that happens means that people are going to get saved. I told you the story before about a man who when we first started this church and we were going out sharing the good news of Jesus, and there was a guy who didn't have I was talking to a guy who didn't have a job, and he was very frustrated, going through months without a job. So I told him, I said, you know what, I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to get you a job tomorrow. Now, that was by the Spirit of God, all right? I can't do that with everybody. But when God speaks to me and tells me to tell a person that, and I tell them that boldly, then I know that God's going to work. Well, the next day I called him up to follow up and find out how he's doing, and he told me, man, you must got a pipeline to go. I got the job. And so he was so grateful, and his wife was so excited. She got on the phone and she says, oh, Pastor, thank you so much for your prayer. Oh, we look forward to being with you this Sunday. And I was expecting them to come too. Well, Sunday came, they didn't. I said Sunday came and they didn't. I went to I go to their house, find out what's going on, I knock on the door. I hear some whispering. And I knock on the door again. I hear one of the kids say, who is it? I said, hi, this is Pastor Troy from Victoria's Word. I hear some more whispering. They're not home. See, we're not guaranteeing that people will come to know Jesus just because a miracle happened. But we can guarantee you that you will have more people come to know Jesus if they see that you are the type of person that gets your prayers answered. Amen. See, if you are as skeptical about God answering prayer as the unsaved person, then you won't win anybody to Christ. Because they're going to wonder, well, your God is just about as powerless as my nothing. So, it's just like the Muslims or Buddhists or any of these type of people. If you want to win these people to Christ, because they're into their religion. Matter of fact, most Muslims are more disciplined than most of us Christians. You know that? I mean, some of them are praying three times a day. They're praying to a false god, but they're praying. They eat right. Most of the time they live morally, except when it's just before the time for them to blow up somebody in a crowd, then they're allowed to have adultery and take drugs for that day. Allah allows them to have their drugs and their women for one day, because they're about to blow up everybody and kill themselves the next day. Isn't that something? Allah's a two-faced, double-minded God. I don't want to serve that kind of God. How about you? No, me either. Me neither, Weeder. I don't want to serve that kind of God. But the thing is that you will see that Muslims are so dedicated to this God that they will strap bombs around themselves and go into crowds of people they don't even know and children present and blow them up. So you are not going to win those kind of people by just giving them a tract and telling them Jesus loves you. They could care less. Because to them, Jesus was nothing more than a prophet, and he wasn't even as great of a prophet as Muhammad. So you're not going to win them to Jesus just by talking to them. You have got to show them evidence that God is real. My wife likes Marilyn Hickey. I don't know if y'all know who Marilyn Hickey is. She's a very popular female preacher. At one time, she was the Joyce Meyer of the 80s. Joyce Meyer is now one of the most popular women preachers of this day. But Marilyn Hickey at one time was the most popular one. But God is still mightily using Sister Marilyn. And my wife tells me about her. She is getting invited to mosques where women are not usually allowed to speak in mosques, in Muslim mosques. The reason why she's getting invited into these mosques to speak is because, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, God is flowing through her as his vessel to bring healing to those people. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Miracles are happening in those mosques because Marilyn Hickey believes her God. And we are, if we want to see people come to Jesus Christ, never mind them just coming to the church, glory to God. My first and foremost thing is for people not to go to hell. That's number one for me. If they get saved and they say, well, Pastor Troy, thank you for bringing me to the Lord, but I really don't like your style of worship. I'm going to the church over here. Praise God. At least you got saved. At least I'm still going to get the fruit when I go to heaven. I'm still going to get, Jesus still going to say, well done, son. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. At least they came to know Jesus. And so that's my main purpose in life, is for people to come to know Jesus. If they come to this church, that's a bonus.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I tell you, my number one focus is I'm tired of the devil snatching souls and destroying them forever and ever. It breaks my heart. It breaks Jesus' heart. And we want to see people come to Christ and go to heaven. Glory to the
Amen.
Lamb of God. Hallelujah. So what we need to do is learn to move in the miraculous. See, I could teach you soul winning techniques, and we will go do some of that down the line. But what I want you to first learn to do is believe your God to manifest himself when you pray. Believe your God, not just make traditional prayers, oh God, bless them in Jesus' name, but believe that God will actually do something and move when you ask him to. Oh, let's look at some scriptures, because everything we do is based on scripture. But we're talking about miracles are for today, and we are confronting the powerless gospel with God's word. And that's the problem we have today. Too many Christians, or so-called Christians, have a powerless gospel. They simply do not believe that God does miracles today. And their prayers show forth this attitude because they don't really expect God to do anything. Well, we look at John chapter 14, verse 12, and we saw that Jesus said that not only can we do the works that he did, but greater works. Let's read that together. Let's read John 14, 12 together. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Praise God. Now, Jesus said, not only the works that he did shall we do. Oh, if this wasn't in the Bible, I would not believe it. I'm telling you. I would have a difficult time believing that Jesus actually said this. But he said, not only the works that I did will you be able to do, but you can do greater works. How many of y'all find that difficult to believe? It's difficult. I had to take it by faith. Because Jesus did some great stuff. You hear me?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus opened some blind eyes. Jesus opened some deaf ears. Jesus healed leprosy. Jesus, he casted out demons. I mean, that's some real cool stuff. But Jesus said, not only can I do that, but he said I can do greater. Now, we looked at that word works the last time, and we saw that even though some people will tell you that that works is not talking about miracles, we looked at the Bible and we saw that whenever Jesus spoke about doing his works, it was always in relation to the miraculous. We saw in Mark chapter 6, for example, that Jesus could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief, except that he healed a few sick people. So he connected works to healing. In John chapter 9, when a man who was born blind came upon him, Jesus said, "The work I must work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And he took the man and spit in the clay and put mud on the man's eyes, had it washed in the pool, and the man was healed. So again, Jesus connected works to miraculous healing. Glory to God.
Amen.
And so we need to understand, when Jesus is talking here about works, he is talking about miracles. He's not talking about feeding the poor. Now, it is a good thing to feed the poor. I want this church to be feeding the poor. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, Jesus was not talking about missions. We are a missionary-minded church. We believe that we need to, that this church one day will send out missionaries all over the world. Praise God.
Amen.
We will sponsor missionary works. We will build up other churches in this nation and other nations. We will have a part in the work of God. But that is not what Jesus is specifically talking about here, although it is a biblical thing. Feeding the poor, doing missions and other works are biblical, but Jesus is not talking about works here. He is specifically talking about miracles. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, we need to look at another factor in as we're dealing with miracles, and that is the fact that miracles would still have to be for today, and we are still eligible to move in the miraculous because God never changes and his promises never change. So no dispensation should be able to move away from the miraculous. There are some theologians, and they call themselves dispensationalists, and I am somewhat of a dispensationalist, but not to the extreme extent where you know, you say, well, this is not for today, that's not for today, because the whole word of God is for today. Praise God. It's just for, I don't have to do animal sacrifices anymore because Jesus, he did it all. He took care of that part. Amen. But I still got to live holy.
Amen.
I still have to honor my mother and father. Praise God.
Amen.
I still have to not covet my neighbor's wife or my neighbor's donkey, praise God.
Amen.
I still have to, all those Old Testament rules, I still have to abide by them. I can't now just say, well, I'm under a new dispensation, so I can just live loose and fancy free.
Amen.
I can covet my neighbor's dog, my neighbor's cat, and his honey. I can dishonor my mother and father. No. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Praise God.
Amen.
And so dispensationalists will tell you that this don't apply today, that don't apply today. And then many of them will even go as far as to say that under this dispensation, under the church age dispensation, there is no longer miracles.
Amen.
God simply just goes by his word. Well, the word of God, as we will learn, is a miracle word. You can't have the word of God fulfilled in your life unless you believe that God is a miracle working God today.
Amen.
But today we're going to just look at the fact that God has never changed his mind about his promises, including this promise here, John 14:12. This promise did not go away. The Holy Spirit had it. If the Holy Spirit did not want you to claim this promise, then he would not have had it written in the Bible in the first place.
Amen.
But since he had it put in the Bible, he did not say years later, well, no longer do I, can you claim this promise because you are now under a new dispensation? No, he had this promise put in the Bible, and he wants you to claim it, and he wants you to receive miracles in your life and for on the behalf of others. Glory to God.
Amen.
Let's look at one of my favorite passage scriptures, Numbers chapter 23. Let me see if we have it up on the board here. Good, yeah. So God does not change his mind concerning his promises. Numbers 23:19. Why don't we all look up on the screen and read it together? Ready, go. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I receive commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it.
Glory to God. See, I don't know why people are trying to reverse the commandment of God to bless when God says that his promises are permanent. He is not a man that he should lie.
He's not a man that he should lie.
See, men change their minds all the time. God doesn't. See, sometimes we excuse our lying or our promise breaking for simply, I changed my mind. I had a very bad habit of that. See, because I was a Christian, I was a minister, so I can't lie. I can just simply change my mind. And so I would promise my wife something, and then I decided, you know, it was just too inconvenient for me to do it for her. And so then she would say, well, didn't you promise to do that? And I would say, yes, but I changed my mind.
Amen.
And then God would speak to me and said, son, you didn't change your mind, you lied. You broke your promise. Get it right. So I had to repent, and I learned to stop changing my mind. Now I have another habit. I'll think about it. She can't stand that, but I'll tell you, it's better than me lying and saying I'll do it than I don't do it, praise God. So, yeah, take some time to think about it. So if I know that I can do it, then I will. But God does not change his mind when he makes a promise. God keeps to his word. He does it. And this, see, that needs to help us understand something. If God has made a promise, and we don't see the promise working in our lives, we are not to blame it on God. We need to look at ourselves, we need to look in this direction and say, what am I doing that's keeping the promise of God from being fulfilled in my life? Praise God.
Amen.
See, sometimes there are things we do to hinder. Sometimes we're just impatient. And, you know, I'm guilty of that. Sometimes I just get impatient. I say, God, you're just taking too long. I know you're going to do it, Lord, but when? You know, I get frustrated because I want to see, you know, I know, you know your heart, you know that it's going to happen. But it's just like, man, when is it going to happen? But God is a God who keeps covenant. Amen.
Amen.
He never breaks his promise. Amen. He never goes against his promise. He never changes his mind about his promises. So we need to believe that God is true to his word concerning miracles. And so if God says that he will work the miracles through us, then we need to believe that. Now, sometimes we just simply don't know how to work these principles of God by which we can receive miracles. But the number one is faith and simply knowing and having faith in the name of Jesus and the authority that he's given us. We'll find out that we can do a lot of things. I probably hit more miracles by accident than I ever did on purpose. But I tell you, I'm learning. Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm learning. Let's look at Romans chapter 11, verse 29. I want you to see that the gifts, the charismas of God are irreversible. When God has decided to give men gifts, and when we talk about gifts, you can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you will see that when I'm talking about gifts, I'm talking about healing, miracles, prophecies, tongues and interpretations. All these things are gifts of God that are irreversible. So turn with me to Romans chapter 11. Bless you. Romans chapter 11. We're just going to look at this and maybe one or two other scriptures, and we'll close out this particular session. This Tuesday, we're beginning a new series of Bible studies because I figured out that what I was teaching on, even though I could keep going longer with it, because some of y'all have been popping in and out. Some of you come one Tuesday, then I don't see you for another two or three Tuesdays in your back.
And then I had to re-explain the whole Bible studies all over again. I said, I'm getting tired of that. So I sought the Lord, and I decided, you know what, we need to go over foundational truth anyhow. And so we're teaching from my very popular book, Basics for Believers Bible Studies. That and my book on healing are some of my best-selling books on Amazon and Barnes & Nobles. Praise God. Oh, and iBooks. iBooks is the are the people that sell books for the iPad, which I'm praying that somebody's gonna bless Pastor with one day. I want an iPad 4, the newest generation of one, just in case the Lord leads you to buy me one. Anyway, all right. Cause I mean, it looks cool to preach from an iPad. You know, a lot of the more modern preachers are now preaching. They ain't holding their Bibles no more. They're preaching from an iPad now. Yeah. I mean, that's cool. I've been looking at Fred Price Jr. I'm like, boy, this young man is so cool preaching from his iPad. I said, I got to get me one. That one look cool too. All right, but praise God. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Let's go down there. It says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, that's the old King James Version. It's very difficult to sometimes understand the King James language. And so I decided to look it up in the Amplified Bible. And this is what the Amplified Bible says. It says, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. In other words, he never withdraws them when once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, that may help you to understand why some preachers, even though they sin, still seem to float in the anointing. You wonder, I mean, it used to make me wonder, why is it that a person... There was a man named A.A. Allen, for example, had a powerful healing ministry. This man was, from what I understand, he was a drunk. He would get drunk before his meetings, and he'd go in, and the power of God would still move and flow, and people would still get healed. That's something, ain't it? There have been men of God who had bad tempers. I heard Oral Roberts, a great, great, great man of God. I love Oral Roberts. But I was told he had a pretty bad temper. Well, y'all think I have a bad temper sometimes. No, God has delivered me, praise God. But the thing is, even Moses had a bad temper. But you wonder, how is it that some of these guys can move in such anointing and such power and have so many flaws? That's because the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable.
Amen.
See, I can go out and commit adultery tomorrow. I won't, by the grace of God, not by the power of truth, praise God. Uh-huh. By the grace of God, because I've asked God to keep me from hurt, breaking my wife's heart, to keep me from doing stupid stuff and destroying y'all. Because if I went out and did something stupid, wouldn't that hurt y'all? Yeah. You wouldn't come to this church anymore, would you? I wouldn't. If I was y'all, I would not. What kind of pastor is he? Can't even keep his pants up. I said, yeah, I did too. But the thing is, even if I did that, do you know that the anointing would still be on me? It wouldn't be as strong because I probably wouldn't be praying. But the gift and the calling of God is irrevocable. He doesn't just snatch his calling away from me. I may still go to hell, but that doesn't mean that the call was never there, praise God.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you withdraw the gift. It's just that now, since I had the gift and I didn't use it or do what I was supposed to do with it, but I went out and did the devil's work, I'm going to hell. But that's why you see so many ministers who mess up and yet still have the gift and call of God on their lives. And it's because God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Now, I also like the New Testament and expanded translation by Kenneth S. Reed. He says, for the gifts and grace and calling of God are with respect to a change of mind irrevocable. What
these guys are saying is God simply doesn't change his mind about the miraculous gifts that he gives to his people. Praise the name of the Lord. That means that John 14:12, where it says that when Jesus said that those who believe on me, not only the works that have I done shall ye do, but even greater works shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. That scripture promise is still valid for today.
Amen.
And we need to take that promise and make it practical in our lives. If my family will tell you, anybody gets sick, they get hands laid on them and they get healed. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, I have seen God do it, and I get disappointed when I don't see instant healings. I'll be honest with you, because I've seen God heal instantly so many times that when it doesn't happen, I get a little frustrated. And I wonder, what am I doing wrong here? What did I mess up? You know, sometimes I have a person up here for an hour trying to get them healed. But, you know, it doesn't always happen instantly. But I've seen God heal. I've seen God, I have casted out demons. I have moved in the gifts of prophecy.
Amen.
I have been prophesied to. I have been healed by God, by men of God.
Amen.
I mean, I have seen God do great things. It is too late to talk Pastor Troy out of this one, boy. I'm telling you.
Amen.
Amen.
I've seen God do some great things. And it was only until I got to Rhode Island that I began to say, man, why is there so much unbelief in this place? Because when we were overseas, we saw some great things from God.
Amen.
We saw God, I mean, we saw some wonderful things, didn't we, baby? We saw God do wonderful things. And you get here, and it's just like Jesus going to his hometown. You get a few healings here and there, get a few miracles working here and there. But I said, man, Rhode Island is so dry. But God told me that's why I sent you here. You and several other, you know, not just me alone, there's many other men of God here. In Rhode Island, and God's going to use all of us, or we're all going to be God's vessels by which God works. But God has me in this particular area of Rhode Island to demonstrate his glory. We're right in between two Catholic churches, one over here and one over there. But God is going to bring down that stronghold, and people are going to get saved. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's going to work because these people are, I'm around Catholics, and I know how religious they are. I know how committed they can cuss. They can they can watch the wrong kind of movies. They can do all that stuff. But because their priest will absolve them every Sunday, and they do that rosary, Mary's beads, or whatever, Hail Marys, or whatever they do, they know that they're okay. What kind of religion is that? You need the miraculous power of God if you want to win these people. I'm telling you. In order to break this stronghold here in Rhode Island, see, I'm not like some of my pastor friends. They just so frustrated. Some of them are almost near to close to giving up. And some of them I can't even talk to right now, because if I talk to them, I get discouraged. I've already been on a thin thread of discouragement myself. So I sit here and listen to my pastor friends tell me, you know, this place is nothing but a preacher's graveyard. I can't receive that.
No way.
I'm telling you. So I said, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to, you know, I've already tried to leave. My wife will tell you, man, we didn't apply for, I mean, when I first came to Rhode Island, so many jobs had opened up for me. God opened a whole bunch of jobs. I could have picked any job I wanted, but God told me to pick the one in Rhode Island. And so when I said, it's time for me to go, I'm fed up with this place, I applied for all kinds of jobs, and I mean, nobody wouldn't hire, they wouldn't even hire me for less than what I was making. You hear me?
Amen.
I tried to get jobs for less money than what I'm making, because I was just mad. I was desperate to get out of this place. And one day I prayed and I said, God, why? Why? And God said, you're not obeying me. I told you to stay here and start a work. And that's what you're going to do. I'm not going to open any door for you. I'm closing them all until you do what I tell you.
Amen.
So I'm here. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I can't give up. Because I know if I try to, he'll still keep closing them doors and push me right back to where I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
But that's his grace, because he don't want me going to hell for disobedience. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm so glad I serve a God like that who loves me. But if God ever changed his mind about the miracles, if he ever revoked his promise, then that would question God's integrity. Somebody might say, well, God is sovereign. He has a right to do what he wants. Let me tell you something, baby. God's sovereignty, he is truly a sovereign God. He's truly the king of all the universe. But a king does not mean that, just because he's sovereign does not mean he has to be a liar. Praise God.
Amen.
God is a truth-telling God. He does not change his mind. He is not a God without integrity. This king of all the universe has integrity, and he will not change his mind about any promise he's made. And you can't trap God, because God, when he made the promise, he wanted you to obligate him to the promise. It's just like my kids. My kids, if I promise my kids something, like for years I've been promising them that I'm going to take them to Disney World, and I am.
I know.
You're still young. We plan on going down to TBN's Holy Land Experience and then going to Disney World. So I've been promising that for years, and I got to hold to my promise. Praise God. But they have the right to keep holding me to my promise, because I made the promise. I can't sit there and say, well, gee, I'm dead. I can do whatever I want. So what? I made the promise. I have to hold true to my promise. Praise God.
Amen.
I can't revoke my promise just because I'm dead. And God can't revoke his promise just because he's God. Praise God.
Amen.
If God said that he would work miracles, then he will work miracles in spite of whether or not it's convenient for him.
Amen.
God does not change his mind out of inconvenience. Amen. And so we need to get that through our thick skulls and understand that the promise of God is true for today, just like it was when Jesus first made the promise.
Amen.
And it's not just for preachers. It is not just for evangelists or pastors or apostles. You know, I got a letter from Dr. Roper. He's a prophet of God. He's a true man of God. And he's looking forward to coming here and preaching one day. He says as soon as he gets back on the East Coast. Now, here's a man who moves in the power of God. I look forward to him coming here to preach. But right now, until we get things straightened out here, I can't have him come. You know, I'd be embarrassed.
Amen.
You know, one week y'all showing up, the next week I don't see you. I can't have that. I want to bring people here to preach. I want to bring people here to minister to y'all, but I want y'all to treat our guests with respect. I can't bring somebody here and then you don't show up. Amen?
Amen.
So when I start seeing when I see our attendance is more consistent, then you'll see more men of God and women of God coming here to minister to us the things that God wants them to minister to. Because I can't give you everything. God has he's divided his gifts, and I don't have them all. But there are men and women of God who want to come here and impart their gifts to you. I just need y'all to be here to receive it. It's bad when I cook. I know many of y'all will get insulted. You cook pastor a nice, delicious meal, and he don't show up to eat it. Wouldn't you be insulted?
Yeah.
Well, that's the way I feel every time I invite somebody here and y'all don't show up.
Yeah.
I'm hurt. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm hurt. I don't say anything, but I'm hurt. And I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
So that's why I said no more guest speakers until we get ourselves straightened out. But there are people who are moving in the miracle working power of God who want to come here, and they want to impart this thing to you. So let's straighten ourselves up, and God's going to bring men and women of God to minister to us. Glory to God.
Amen.
But not only that, God wants you to become a vessel of power and anointing for him.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I love y'all. Stand to your feet.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I know sometimes I have to throw a little hard word in there. I don't like it. I don't like doing it, but
no, it's okay.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Wheel. Praise God. But I can't apologize for it because God's not going to. I'm not going to get rebuked by God for apologizing for what He tells me to tell y'all. All right. So praise God. But I love you. Let's pray and close out. Before we do, does anybody need prayer?